This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. When America wakes up this Sunday morning, either David Duke or Edwin Edwards will be governor-elect of the state of Louisiana. Duke is a former Grand Wizard of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan and founder of the white supremacist group, the National Association for the Advancement of White People. He spent the past 2 years in the state legislature. Duke says he's changed, both politically and spiritually. But many of his opponents say he's merely toning down his rhetoric in order to strengthen the foothold of racist extremists in American government. Duke's opponent, Edwin Edwards, served 3 terms as governor in the 70s and 80s. He was twice indicted on federal racketeering charges, but never convicted. And he's had a reputation for womanizing and gambling. He also says he's reformed and sees this race as a chance to clear his name. What does this campaign tell us about race and politics in America? We'll talk with several people on today's show. The first is Lance Hill, executive director of the Louisiana Coalition Against Racism and Nazism, a group created to stop Duke's political influence. I asked Hill if he thinks that everyone who votes for Duke is a racist.
I think that the formula might be described this way. All racists are David Duke supporters, but not all David Duke supporters are racist. It's true that there is probably a small percentage of the Duke vote which is attracted to Duke because of other issues he runs on. I can't imagine what those issues are because he does not have an educational program. He does not have a jobs development program. Every issue that he's identified with is racially charged. It's welfare, it's affirmative action, it's crime. Those are the issues that he runs on. But perhaps there's some people who warm up to his populist appeal, his playing to their resentments of elites and entrenched bureaucracies.
What has the strategy been for your group, the Louisiana Coalition Against Racism and Nazism?
Well, from the very beginning, we've argued 2 things. One is that you have to tell the truth about Duke. He is part of a national socialist movement, of a Nazi movement. He's been tied to it since he was 16 years old. And he's been seeking, along with many other people, a political strategy that will give them a mass popular base. And they found it with these issues and with this electoral approach. That explains why his campaign manager in 1988 was a former commander in the American Nazi Party. This is a political strategy, and Louisiana is the laboratory for the racist right. Now, what we've done is say, first, you've got to tell people that this is not another George Wallace. This is not Republican racial divisiveness. This is something more virulent and more dangerous. Second, though, we've argued that you have to engage the racial myths that perpetuate this Duke movement, that impel this movement. And those are many myths that many white middle-class liberals as well as conservatives, I think, subscribe to. The idea that crime is a character product of the character flaw of recent immigrant groups or blacks, or that unemployment is voluntary. It's not an economic product of the deteriorating conditions in America. So we've gone through and systematically challenged those racial myths and argued that the only way you defeat David Duke is to defeat the belief system that underpins his support. In other words, the problem in Louisiana is not David Duke, it's the voters and their own prejudicial beliefs that drive this movement forward.
When David Duke was in college, he was affiliated with the American Nazi Party. He was a devotee of George Lincoln Rockwell. After college, he switched his affiliation to the Ku Klux Klan. Do you know why he switched?
Yes. David Duke's life has been an odyssey in which he, in many ways, represents the search by the Nazi movement for a strategy to develop a mass-based political movement in this country. You mentioned his mentor, George Lincoln Rockwell. Rockwell, in a book that he penned, an autobiography called Nick's Time, The World, actually laid out in the early 60s this strategy. Rockwell argued that the Nazi movement should use the electoral arena to legitimize and give respectability to its views, and to position its candidates for the ultimate constitutional seizure of power. Once in power, which would be a consequence of some social or economic crises where people turn to this authoritarian solution, then once in power, the Nazi movement would move quickly to dismantle our free and democratic institutions. This was literally a strategy that Rockwell proposed in the 1960s, and this is what Duke has been doing. First, he experimented with national socialism, wrapping himself in the ornaments of Nazism, the swastika and the jackboots. And he found that Americans would not swallow that. They didn't find that palatable. So then he moved to the Ku Klux Klan. Same politics and same views, but this time dressed up in a traditional form of American racism. And by 1980, I think he had exhausted the possibilities of that. In the 1980s, then, he took a three-piece suit, blow-dry approach to the same politics. And that began to provide some results in the late 1980s, and particularly when he took that approach into the electoral arena, he discovered that if he was willing to moderate some of his views but retain the racist core of his appeal, that he could enjoy widespread success because there was a resurgence of racial resentment and anger among whites. So this is what I see as a consistent building of a national socialist movement in this country, tailored to the traditions and the peculiarities of our American political system. And that is what Duke is trying to build, and that's why he's spending so much time on national media, because he knows to build a movement, he's got to get outside of Louisiana, he's got to identify his supporters, and this is what this campaign is providing him, a forum to develop that movement.
So you see David Duke as being at the vanguard of an attempt of the racist right to make a legitimate entrance into American mainstream politics.
Yes. Now what we're seeing is not just David Duke, but former members of the Klan, of the Nazi movement, anti-Semites and white supremacists all over this country, moving very quickly to develop a new radical racial right. And I think that we're going to see that emerge in the presidential campaign next year. There's no doubt in my mind that David Duke will run for president, and if not him, some Duke-styled candidate. And they're going to try to wedge off from the Republican Party a hardcore racist sector. And the Republicans are going to have a very big problem because this is going to be built within their own party.
Do you think that David Duke is opportunistic enough to sell out his views so he could get more power?
Well, he's certainly been willing to compromise his public allegiance to white supremacist and anti-Semitic principles in order to expand his electoral base, but he is not a complete opportunist. He does not go on national television and insist that that Clarence Thomas is wrong for marrying a white woman for no reason at all. The reason he makes that argument is because he knows that that will allow him to retain a distinct racial identity. If Duke was just looking for votes, he would say what would be popular, which is, well, it's fine for blacks and whites to intermarry, or Jews and Christians, but I'm against affirmative action, I'm against welfare, and I'm against set-asides. Duke doesn't say that. He makes it very clear that he hasn't changed, that there are elements of his old beliefs that he retains. And that's because he is, in a classic sense, a political visionary. He's trying to build a movement. He is not just trying to advance his own career. He wants executive authority through the presidency so that he can reorder America along the segregated racial lines that he's dreamed of all of his life. And I think his recent statements make it quite clear that he is not a complete opportunist or sellout, but he's trying to build a movement around a set of political principles.
Based on David Duke's past affiliations and past public statements, do you think that there's any difference between where he stands on people of color and of Jews, and of which negative would take priorities for him? Take priority for him.
In David Duke's political cosmology, the Jew is the central satanic figure. He does not believe that Jews have souls. The religious Christian tendency that he is a part of, that he has defended as recently as 3 or 4 years ago, is called identity Christianity, which believes that Jews descended directly from Satan. Duke has always attributed in his private conversations and interviews and the like, always attributed the woes of the world to Jews. He thinks blacks are simply pawns in an international Jewish conspiracy. Now, in these campaigns, he has not highlighted his anti-Semitism. He's used code words to build anti-Semitism, but he, in fact, is training a generation of young white people to become anti-Semites. There was a confrontation in one of the suburbs here a few days ago during a debate. It was actually a televised interview with Duke. And what was particularly unsettling is that a young woman had a poster that said 6 million died, and she was surrounded by a group of Duke supporters, young Duke supporters, who were deriding her for saying that, and said, no, it's not possible that 6 million died. That's just a big exaggeration. So what's happening is that if it's politically expedient for Duke to invoke his anti-Semitism, he will. He's holding off right now because it's not morally acceptable. But I think we'll see in the future, if it's to his advantage, that he will suddenly shift to a much more anti-Semitic approach. But Jews are at the heart of what he sees as the problem of America.
Do you think that there are young white voters in Louisiana now who came of age after the Civil Rights Movement, who never experienced segregation, who know a lot less about the Ku Klux Klan, who aren't experiencing this election in the same way, who aren't seeing it in the same way, and who don't have the same experience with overt racism that people who are older have?
Well, I think that to some extent, young white voters, and this is probably where Duke has his greatest, broadest level of support, and also the most intense level of support. Young white voters do not think of themselves as self-consciously as racist and bigots. They've grown up in the last 20 years in a world in which blacks had full civil equality. They tend to think that the crime and poverty that they see in the black community is a product of some character flaw in blacks, and they have not seen the 15-year process in which the black urban areas were devastated by the post-industrial society. They don't understand the economic forces that have been at work. So it appears to them that the problem is not that there is a lack of opportunity, but rather a lack of ambition and drive among blacks. This is a very fertile terrain for a racist movement, because in addition to that, these young people are competing for educational opportunities and jobs with other young blacks, and they want every edge that they can possibly get, even though affirmative action, I think, in very few situations, prevents them from attaining their own goals in life. Most young whites tend, at this point, to blame whatever the failures of the system might be on blacks. It's, in other words, they don't see the problem as a failure of the economic system to provide opportunity for everyone, but rather they see it as a failure of the system to give them equal opportunity. So we need to have a dialogue in this country on these issues, on the question of what causes poverty, on the question of why is it more difficult to get an education or to buy a house or to find an entry-level position. We need to open this up, because part of Duke's appeal, I think, is that he does respond to rational grievances. I mean, there are both rational and irrational grievances that fuel the Duke movement. And ultimately, the solution to David Duke is not a critique of his own racial ideas. We've got to have that discussion and open that up in the 1990s. But ultimately, the solution to Duke and his movement is the creation of a political alternative.
Lance Hill is executive director of the Louisiana Coalition Against Racism and Nazism. This is Fresh Air.